This is the Man in Line on location.
Good afternoon. We're live at St Ninian's High School, and in just a few moments' time, talking to the students. First of all, the news on the tests: 18,159 tests have been taken. 18,120 concluded. There are 39 people waiting results of a test, and 7 people waiting for tests. That's the situation on COVID. And of course, remember today, 4 o'clock, live on Manx Radio, and also streaming on Facebook and YouTube. We'll have the media briefing with the Chief Minister and the Health and Social Care Minister. So we'll see what's happening today, 4 o'clock live on Manx Radio. But today we're live at St Ninian's in Douglas, live around the high schools. All the high schools will be having their say on the Man in Line between now and Christmas. And Luke and Elliot and Matthew and Charlotte and David and Robin and Thomas, Tori, Erin, Bethan, Robert, Adam and Max will be on the air in the next hour or so. It was the 5th of December last year we were last at St Ninian's. And Elliot, you were on the panel last time, weren't you?
Yeah. I was on last year with Luke Hegarty here.
And we, talking about VAR.
Yeah, we both have a...
You hated VAR. Hated.
Well, the technology itself is good. It's just the incompetence and unclarity of the rules in place that just make it...
Who do you support, by the way?
Tranmere Rovers.
Tranmere Rovers?
Tranmere Rovers.
Well, it doesn't really trouble Tranmere, does it?
It doesn't trouble Tranmere.
Who do you follow in the Premier League?
Premier League, Liverpool, just because, like, closest club. So
okay, so VAR was brought in because of all the split split-second decisions and the offside and what have you, and it was brought in. Everybody thought it was going to be fantastic.
Yeah.
You weren't convinced last year, and you're not convinced now.
No, I think VAR has the potential to work on cut-and-dry decisions, like offsides, where they're either offside or they're not. However, for the clear and obvious rule, like with penalties and free kicks, well, one person says clear and obvious, another won't, and there's no nuance in the rules for it. It's just, there's still individual errors. It's just passed on from the referee to the person sitting in the VAR booth.
And it drags the game on as well,
yeah,
doesn't it?
I think on average last season, I believe it was like 2 minutes was the average time for a VAR decision to be made, and that's just too long. It just stops the game too much.
So, Ellie, if you were in charge, would you keep VAR going or not?
Personally, I'd wait till the end of the season, because if you make a decision in the middle of the season, it could have effects on different teams more than others. But at the end of the season, I'd scrap it in its current form and reinvent it, or reintroduce it with different rules, different procedures to follow.
Yeah, okay. Matthew, are you follow football at all?
Yeah.
Who do you support?
Liverpool.
Okay, and what do you reckon to VAR?
I don't know much about it, to be honest. I just I mostly get my information from football about Elliot. So I don't really know, but I know it favoured Liverpool a lot last season. So I mean, why not keep it?
And you've got an enormous Star Trek tie on. Are you a Trekkie?
Oh yeah, definitely.
What period? Which era of Star Trek are you a fan of?
Oh, the original generation's the best.
William Shatner, and Leonard Captain Nimoy, Kirk, and what have you. And how come you got into Star Trek?
Oh, it was my dad. He loved Star Trek, so, and he'd always have it on, and the Borg and stuff, and he'd just always like have me sit down and watch it with him. So,
what is it about Star Trek?
I don't know. I think the campiness is like, it's appealing, isn't it? It's I don't know.
Stories or just the characters or what is it?
Well, the story is not the best all the time. It can be a bit iffy, but I think the characters like Captain Kirk and his bravery, and Spock and his more logical than emotional. It just seems it's just very appealing.
What do you study? Are you going to university?
Yes, I am.
Where will you be going?
York or Lancaster. I haven't quite decided between those two yet.
And reading what?
I'd be studying law and criminology.
How come?
I want to be a lawyer.
It's not just the money, is it?
Well, that's one of them. Criminal lawyers don't get like paid as much as other lawyers, but it's like one of the most interesting aspects.
Does it run in the family?
No.
So you just decided you wanted to be... would you stay on the island or would you go to the UK? What would you do?
Oh, yeah, I'd be going to the UK. I don't think you can study law over here. So,
but I mean, would you want to work in the UK
or
would you want to work on the Isle of Man?
Oh no, I'd work over in the UK because the Isle of Man doesn't have that very interesting cases, in my opinion.
I want to talk to Adam here because Adam is... We're in a porter cabin. Last year, we were in the bowels of St. Ninian's. We're in a porter cabin now. And I love that. You're a prefect, aren't you, Adam?
Yeah.
I love the fact you've actually gone to find the planning permission for the porter cabin. Sorry, temporary classroom we're in. Explain.
I just wanted to see like what happened in the past to the school because obviously the school's been here for over... nearly 100 years now, and there's lots that's changed to it. So I wanted to try and find some of the bigger developments, like the building of new buildings, new rooms. Couldn't find that, but I did in fact find the mobile classrooms, the library, and installation of new lifts throughout the school. So just all sorts of different things going on around the place.
And when was the planning permission for this the place we're in now?
So I think this one was about 2012, but it might have been before or after then.
Is this a temporary structure, or are they eventually going to build on it, do you know?
I don't know. Yeah. It seems like they've taken it and they're keeping it.
I
wouldn't know.
It's a very interesting hobby to have, I have to say, as well. Next to Adam's Robert. Now, Robert, you're a sportsman, aren't you? What do you play?
Football.
Who for?
Braddon.
Okay, and what position are you at?
Like centre mid.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Enjoying it?
Yeah, it's all right. Only just joined.
How's the team performing, by the way?
Not great. I think we're ninth out of, 13, but... could be worse.
And how come you chose Braddon?
Just Hegg over there. Played for him and he was like, we need some players. And I was like, I'm a player. I can try. So, yeah.
What are you hoping to do? Are you going to university?
Yeah, hopefully.
Where do you know?
Lancaster or Warwick, I think.
Okay.
Yeah.
And what will you be doing?
Philosophy, politics and economics.
Have you been to Warwick?
No.
It's a great university, big campus university outside Coventry, and it's,
yeah.
I mean, it's a, and obviously Lancaster's a campus university as well. How do you feel about all the COVID stuff that's going on?
It is what it is. You kind of just have to put up with it, forget about it, yeah.
I mean, it's been an extraordinary nine months it's been out now. Well, did you make any sense of it during the summer? How was your studies?
Well, it was good because in our politics, when you're writing your essays, it's almost like the perfect example. It's like the anomaly where you can use it as an example and a point if you're talking about the devolution of powers between the nations. Obviously, Scotland had different laws regarding COVID than England does, so it's very interesting.
Have you paid any attention to how Manx politicians have handled this at all?
Only a kind of anecdotal review of it, just seeing that, well, we did quite well, didn't we? You can't really... look at any other way.
I mean, they obviously locked the country, they locked the Isle of Man down, and we are where we are in terms, because I mean, elsewhere it's running riot in certain places.
Yeah.
So do you think they've done a good job?
They acted quickly and decisively. It took real courage to do that, because I'm sure at the time not everyone was in favour of it, locking down completely, but they did it and it worked. I think everyone's,
Tori, you play netball, is that right?
Yeah, I do.
You play netball for?
I play for Manx Gems and I play for the Isle of Man.
What position?
Goalkeeper.
Okay.
Not too much running.
Not. What are you hoping? Are you going to university?
Hopefully, yeah. So I've still got another 2 years here, though.
Yeah. Are you planning that far ahead for university? Or?
I know that I want to go, but I don't really know where or what I plan on studying.
Have you ever thought of a career as a professional sports woman?
Not really, because I feel like it's quite an unrealistic expectation to set for myself, and I feel like I'd benefit more if I did something more academic.
How's the Isle of Man netball team performing?
Well, obviously with COVID, we haven't been able to do much, and Netball Europe's been cancelled for next year, which is quite disappointing.
Are you still training, though?
We still do training, and we have, like, academy days where we learn about, like, psychology and the biology of netball, which is quite interesting.
And how long have you been playing netball?
About 5 years, I think.
How do you think the Isle of Man's handled the COVID situation?
I think we've done really well. I mean, obviously, there's still a few cases, but it's been managed, like, really well.
And you were obviously getting... Were you getting remote tuition throughout the summertime? How did that work?
So I was in year 11, so obviously we didn't have to do our exams and there was no like work for us to be passed on. So we did transition work to help us introduce into sixth form, but that was all.
Okay. Thomas, Blackburn Rovers, is that right, Thomas?
Blackburn Rovers, yeah.
Okay. The future or the past?
I think anything but the present, to be honest.
So tell me, I mean, Blackburn Rovers have fallen from a mighty height. What on earth's gone wrong?
Well, I don't really know. I remember when we got relegated. I was very young. I was only about 8, and I wasn't actually too sad about it. I think my dad's also a Blackburn supporter.
Is this a family thing then?
Dad's side of the family is Blackburn, and in fact, my mum's side of the family is Burnley, so it's a bit of a rivalry. So yeah, I think it's been a tough decade, but I think we are on the up. Everyone laughs when I say that, but I think we are on the up. So hopefully.
Thomas, are you on social media?
I am, yes.
What are you on? Twitter, Facebook,
Instagram?
Yeah, I'm
on them all. I'm not very active on them.
You don't post much, you just watch?
No, I like Twitter for Blackburn. They've got a good Twitter fan base, so that's good. But yeah, because we're on the Isle of Man, we're a bit more, obviously pre-COVID, I couldn't see much of the games, but Twitter was good for that. So yeah, but now that no one's at the games, it's like pre-match streams, post-match streams, so that's good.
You're obviously not old enough to go to pubs yet, I take it.
No.
Because the Blackburn Rovers pub, of course, is the Rovers Return.
Yeah, I have walked past it before.
Yeah, Martin Brunschweiler, the owner of Bush's, big Blackburn Rovers fan, and of course they go up and down. I want to talk to you about social media. Mm-hmm. Do you use Facebook much?
I do. Yeah, I've only recently joined because I don't know. I was trying to get on it and it blocked all my accounts for some reason before I even got on it. So I haven't done anything wrong, but before I even got on it. So I got my mum on the case and she managed to get me on there.
Okay, and do you like Facebook?
Yeah, I think it's all right. I think it's a good platform to find out quite a lot about the news. Like I see when I'm aspiring to be a lawyer, so when I see quite a lot of criminal cases on the different radios, the Facebook pages, I like that and read into them.
Tell me, why a criminal lawyer?
Not necessarily a criminal lawyer, but you don't really read much about corporate law on the news, so... But it does interest me because it's like, almost because I haven't learned about it yet, so obviously I can see the criminal.
Do you want to be an advocate, a lawyer?
I do, yeah.
Yeah, and what, is that in the family at all?
No, it's not. I know people who are, but no, it's not in the family.
Okay, Thomas is next to, Robin's next to Thomas as well. And you're going to university, is that right?
I've got another year to go first. But
are you aiming to go to university?
Yes.
Okay, what do you want to do?
Computer science, probably. Yeah.
Okay, are you on social media as well?
Yes, I am.
On everything?
Pretty much, yeah. I don't really use it that much.
How do you view social media, Robin? Good thing, bad thing?
Yeah, I think it's overall a good thing. You know, there's bad parts to it and like the cyberbullying things, but if people generally act mature, I think for the most part social media is like a very good way to connect with people, and especially, you know, with the whole COVID situation, it's been like a key factor in like staying connected with everyone when people are in lockdown, and it's like video calls especially, I think a lot of social medias have them, and they're really useful for like keeping in touch with family and things.
Did you find the lockdown and the distancing difficult at all during the summer?
No, I didn't. I quite enjoyed it actually. Because had no school and no schoolwork really, apart from like the transition work, which I think I kind of left at the last minute. But so it was kind of relaxing, and as social media is, you know, there, and I can do video calls and voice calls and things to like, all my friends. It was just nice and peaceful. Because it was quite hot as well, and you could go on nice walks and things. So.
It was a tremendous summer, wasn't it? I mean, of course, we'll never have this ever again. You'll always remember this summertime. Next to Robin, David Cowan. Do you play football?
No, I play hockey.
Hockey, that's it, for Harlequins,
yes.
As well. What position?
Either centre-back or wing-back, depending on where I'm needed.
Now, it's a great standard of hockey on the Isle of Man.
Yes.
How long have you been playing for?
7 or 8 years, probably. I've lost track.
What is it about the hockey fraternity? They're very loyal. They're very passionate, aren't they?
Yeah, they're very passionate about the sport. Loyal, I would make an argument some players aren't, because I know Harlequins especially, we have a problem of we train up the young players to be really good, to be island standard, and then they leave to go to better clubs. So,
why would they do that?
To get a better standard of hockey, I guess. I mean, we aren't an amazing team as we are, but like we're bottom of the league, something on minus 86 goal difference or something. However, we have the capability, if they'd stayed, to hold our own in the Premier Division, to be mid-table. So it's a difficult problem to solve, really.
But Charlotte's next to David. Charlotte, you're prefect, aren't you?
Yeah.
What does that mean?
So that means that we represent the school in open day events. So recently we had the Men's International Day, and we did this event in the hall, and different prefects represented different stations. Whereas I had a private study beforehand, so me and a few others helped set it up, and we put all the posters up.
Okay. What year are you in your final year?
Yeah.
Okay, and university?
Yeah, I'd like to go to Swansea because my family lives there, and I'd like to study law.
Well, that part of the Gower Coast, beautiful down there, isn't
it?
Yeah,
and I like Mumbles as well. They have an arcade. I used to go there all the time.
Yeah, well, that's a lovely part of the world as well. What will you be reading there? What will you be studying?
Law.
Again, law?
Yeah.
We're in a room full of future advocates here on the Isle of Man. I want to talk to Luke as well, responsible football player.
Yeah.
Who do you play for?
I play for Braddon as well.
And you're the one who recruited
right? We needed players. So.
Okay, and are you a fan of VAR as well?
No, I hate it. I absolutely hate it. I just think it was the worst invention into
the
game.
So why did they invent VAR? Why did somebody suddenly say VAR is a good idea?
Well, there was a lot of discrepancy between the rules and the referees were making a lot of mistakes, but like Elliot said before, the mistakes are still being made just by different people, and until they clear up the rules, VAR can never work.
Do you think it's because of the amount of money that there is in top flight football? Because obviously those decisions, you used to get managers moaning about decisions, I mean, and millions and millions of euros and pounds.
Yeah, obviously there's a lot at stake, but at the end of the day, football's all about enjoyment, and without fans, football wouldn't be, it wouldn't exist in its form. And so the fans should be the main consideration of the Premier League, and it ruins the enjoyment of the game.
How do you feel about the Premier League at the moment with fake crowd noise?
I don't like the fake crowd noise personally because it doesn't feel authentic.
Thomas was saying that how many fans are going to be allowed in various grounds?
Oh yeah, if 2,000 in Liverpool and in London, was it? Yeah. And
none in Manchester.
I mean, that's definitely a good thing, but at the same time, I think it sort of makes it a little bit unfair for some of the clubs that aren't going to be allowed fans, and therefore there's obviously going to be an advantage for the home team, and some clubs aren't going to experience that advantage of having their fans there.
Well, I've at St Ninian's High School today with the students of St Ninian's coming up to Christmas, 4 weeks tomorrow, the big day. I'm going to be back in a moment with more from the students of St Ninian's.
Choice and prices so low. I am One Car Centre on Domain Road. Cars of every kind at prices that are hard to find. Visit on Facebook to see the range, or call 611040. Great service, choice and prices low. I am One Car Centre, the place to go.
Love Your Home is a revolutionary new app to take the stress out of your routine home maintenance. Your property is your biggest investment, so keep it in tip-top shape for less than the cost of a daily sandwich, with annual maintenance at the touch of a button. Nothing's too much trouble. Love Your Home will handle everything from boiler servicing and cleaning gutters to fixing a leaky tap and full electrical checks, leaving you to get on with your life. Find out more at loveyourhome.in. Your home, loved by our family.
For expert equine services, choose Milan Vets, where your horse will be well looked after by dedicated professionals. Milan Vets' comprehensive range of equine services includes lameness workups, x-rays and ultrasound, blood sampling and fertility work. They also offer pre-purchase examinations, and discounts are available for chronic medications. Visit online at milanvets.co.uk or call 674 532. Milan Veterinary Practice, caring for all your creatures, great and small.
What's too hot in summer and too cold in winter? Your conservatory. Well, now, Phoenix Windows can convert your conservatory roof with a solid, lightweight, insulated roof to turn your conservatory into a room you can comfortably use all year round. Phoenix Windows, for free estimates, free surveys, bespoke made-to-measure windows, guaranteed work, and all-island coverage. For your free, no-obligation quotation, call 816628 or visit phoenixwindows-iom.com.
As we prepare to start opening the doors on the Manx Radio Advent Calendar, this weekend it's your final chance to have a go at our winning weekend wordplay. And this time we're teaming up with Walton's to give you the perfect early Christmas gift. With a variety of entertainment and household appliances in stock, you could win £500 to spend in store. Just listen out for our winning weekend wordplay, which is on all day Saturday and Sunday. Get your name in the draw and we'll announce the winner on Monday's breakfast show at 10 to 9. So join us this weekend to be a huge winner with Walton's here on the Nation Station.
This is the Man in Line on location.
Andy Winton, the students of St Ninian's High School, and Max is with us as well. Max, they're talking about legalising medicinal cannabis, and there's a big talk about legalising recreational cannabis. What do you think about it?
I fully agree with the legalisation of both, to be honest. If you look at America, it's worked quite well. So.
In some of the
like
states.
It's a good place to try it off in like a in the British Isles to see if it works culturally as well, because our culture is quite different to the US. But test it here, see if it works, and then.
And do you think there's any difference between medicinal and recreational cannabis?
Well, yeah, because there's the medicinal use is more in favour of the CBD chemical that's in cannabis rather than the THC and the psychoactive substances. So those chemicals have been like proven to have many benefits to do with like cancer and strokes and stuff. But I feel like it's a good door that needs to be looked into.
And how do you feel about the argument that says that recreational cannabis is a slippery slope to Class A drugs?
I think that's only because they're buying it off the dealers that supply other illegal substances. If you walk into a dispensary and you purchase cannabis, I feel like that completely takes away the illegal side of it and the introduction to that market.
And who do you think should regulate that?
The government.
And where do you think, what sort of shops would sell recreational cannabis?
Well, as you see in America, there's like allocated shops that have like shelves full of cannabis, like different strains and flavours and stuff. And then, that's basically it, like a little coffee shop type of thing.
Do you think that would, the criminals, because obviously at the moment drugs are in the hands of criminals, do you think they'd kind of just give the ground up and move on to something else, or do you think they'd be selling stronger cannabis?
Well, I think that's the problem with the cannabis these days, is it's too strong. There's too high levels of THC in it, which does cause the long-term psychological like disadvantages. But I feel like if the government can actually regulate the amount of THC and CBD in the cannabis, then we'll have less of those problems in the future.
Are you on social media, Max?
I am, yeah.
What do you use?
Most of them, but I don't really use Twitter.
Do you post on Facebook, or do you just read?
No, I just have it to stay updated with like hockey and stuff, because that's the main.
And you play for
Saracens.
Okay, Max. Next to Max is Adam as well. Tell us a bit about social media. What are you on, Adam?
So I'm on everything. So Snapchat, Instagram, LinkedIn, Twitter, Facebook. I use them all because I just like to stay connected with people all over the world.
How many friends have you got on Facebook?
I'm not big on the Facebook friends. I use that more for like work and like work groups and stuff. But other things like Instagram, I have about 1,500 people I'm following.
And you're on LinkedIn as well, which is a professional network as well.
Yeah, I love LinkedIn.
Why?
I use it to connect with like people from different companies. So I know people at Microsoft, Adobe, Prodigy Learning. I know loads of people. So I like to connect with them and stay updated with them.
Adam, what do you get from that?
So I feel like I get to know people in all these big companies, and I get to know more about how the companies work. And so there's a chance that potentially my name might be in the frame for if there's any potential jobs coming up.
And how do you see your career? What do you want to do?
So I want to do something with computers. So I'm planning on studying a computer science degree, possibly at UCM or maybe at Oxford. So two very different places.
If you could look 10 years forward, where would you see yourself? What would you want to do?
I have no idea.
Would you be on the Isle of Man?
I'd like to stay here, but I don't know if it's going to happen. Because I feel like if I want to work for a bigger company like Microsoft, they probably aren't going to need me on the Isle of Man. They probably want me somewhere else.
Now, Bethan, you've been very quiet up until now. Are you on social media?
I am, yeah.
What do you use?
Mainly stuff like Instagram, Facebook, but that's mainly to do with uni stuff that's going on now.
And which university do you want to go to?
I would like to go to Durham.
That's a beautiful city, Durham. Yeah. Have you been for? Did you have an interview there?
No, they don't do interviews for my course, but I've done, like, obviously I've not been able to visit, but I've done all the online tours and things that they've offered.
And what will you be studying?
Classical civilization.
Why classical civilization?
I just enjoy it. I always liked history, and then at A level I chose to pick it up as an A level, and I've just finished that now. So I've really enjoyed it, and I want to continue it.
Will you have to do Latin or ancient Greek or anything there?
It's not compulsory. I know that in Oxbridge it is compulsory, but lower down it's not. I would like to pick up ancient Greek because I like reading the texts, but it's not compulsory. I don't have to.
And when did you get into history?
It's kind of my throughout school I've always liked history.
What
especially.
Period?
I like early modern, but yeah, anything really at the minute in history, we're doing modern history, very recent.
You can tell us, what's the course, the history course like at St Ninian's?
It's really good. It's tailored to the interests of our teachers. They've kind of picked from the syllabus what they want to do. So we do a lot of American history.
What period?
Post-war America from late 40s up until the 80s.
Well, that's fascinating stuff. particularly with, I mean, the political shift in America post-war as well.
Yeah.
Erin's next to Bethan.
Yeah.
Now, what was it? I'm trying to think. Did you do sport?
Well, you could argue that I do sport. I dance, but some people don't like to call that a sport.
What sort of dance?
I do cheer stunts and hip-hop mainly.
Where?
Unity Dance School, so it's just in Douglas.
Okay, and what led you to... that's not street dance, is it?
Yeah.
It is street dance. What led you to that?
Well, I've been dancing since I was like 5, and then I've just like drifted through different dance schools. And then when I moved to Unity, they offered like street and hip hop, and I thought I'd try it out. But then I just carried on doing it. It was my favorite style.
What do you like about it?
I like the way you can like interpret the dance differently. Like everyone puts their own spin on it and does all everything differently.
And what music?
More like modern late stuff you'd hear on like the top charts and stuff like that.
Some names? What sort of stuff?
I don't know really.
Do you like hip hop?
Yeah. Well, more, I'm not really into music very much, but yeah.
That's fascinating. So are you going to university?
I'm not sure yet. So obviously I've still got a year left at A levels. So I'm in my first year now. But I'm still not sure what I want to do.
Erin, what do you think about this question of cannabis on the Isle of Man?
Well, I think that medical marijuana should be like allowed, obviously, because some people need it and they don't have the chance to get it. And then with the recreational stuff, it can put like the dealers and stuff, like it might discourage them from selling it, so it could get them out of the streets and stuff and decriminalize it.
Lots of people say that cannabis marijuana should be legalized because alcohol was a drug, it was legalized, and people still have problems with alcohol.
Yeah, well, there's still going to be the problems that you have now, but I feel like it can be controlled more easily through the government.
Okay. Max?
Yeah. I feel like with you raising the alcohol, I feel like they're two very, very different drugs. Like,
so why do you think some people put them together? Some people say...
Because they are labeled as drugs.
Right.
That's, yeah.
Social drugs.
Yeah. I feel like that's it, because... like cannabis has literally almost the opposite effects of alcohol. Like it makes you more chilled out, and whereas alcohol makes people like falling over and fighting each other, where I've never seen any two people fight each other on cannabis.
Okay.
Maybe over it, but not on it.
Okay, Elliot.
I'd just actually like to disagree with Max's point about the government should regulate cannabis. I feel like it should be sold over the counter, there should be age limits and that kind of stuff, but I don't think the government should say how much someone can ingest. I think it should be like with alcohol, like if I want to go and just drink a liter of vodka, I am fully within my rights to do that. I think if I want to go and just like, I don't do cannabis, so I don't know how much is a lot, but if I want to go and like smoke 10 grams of it at once, like that should be perfectly legal.
My point was more with the strength of the THC content of the cannabis rather than the amount of it.
But I still disagree that the government should regulate. I still think the government...
I feel like because the main argument with like the worldwide argument to do with why to make it legal is because these gangs are taking it out of control with the strength of it. They're all competing on the strength of the cannabis rather than how good it is for you. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I can understand your point of view. I just think that if I want really strong cannabis, I should be allowed to smoke it.
That's fair enough.
Yeah.
We'll find out, won't we? Live at St. Ninian's here with... oh, it's Thomas. That was it. Thomas.
Yeah.
Thomas. We were talking about... You mentioned you want VAR for Blackburn Rovers.
Well, the thing is, everyone, before VAR, everyone wanted it. And I don't think they can... I think everyone... It was unanimous that everyone wanted it. And
Do you think everybody wanted it?
I think the vast majority of people wanted it. And if they didn't, then it wouldn't have been introduced in the first place. And, like, I don't know whether anyone saw the interview a couple of years ago of one Southampton player, Charlie Austin. He was fuming with the referee because it was a blatant decision that he got wrong. And without VAR, those can't be overturned. Like, if an official makes one mistake, but it's really blatant, there's no ground to overturn that without VAR. And as a Blackburn fan in the Championship, I'm almost saying, like, I want it. But now that the Premier League have it, they don't want it. It's like the opposite.
Okay, David?
Yeah, leading on from that point, I think VAR is a good thing and it is needed, but it needs a revamp. So I think it's hockey and rugby at high levels use VAR where each team captain has an appeal. So if they believe a decision has gone the wrong way, they can appeal it. And so VAR will be used if the decision, like if the appeal was correct and the decision is overturned, they will get that appeal back to then use later in the game. However, if it's an incorrect appeal, then they lose it and they get no more appeals for the rest of the game.
Okay.
So it's... does help with the obvious decisions, like Thomas was saying, but it isn't overused like it currently is.
Okay, Elliot?
But I still think that doesn't fix the issue of the people in the VAR getting it wrong. Because if you look at, just to give you some example, Pickford versus Virgil van Dijk, Pickford goes in, through his kneecap, he's now out for the season. That is a blatant obvious error. Most people would say that's a red card. Referee didn't see it, so therefore it's VAR, but VAR still didn't say anything. I don't think that giving the captains an appeal, because VAR looked at it, but nothing happened, so giving an appeal wouldn't
fix
that.
Matthew, what would Spock say?
Well, Spock wouldn't want you to be emotional about it, because you're using a team that you support in the Premier League, Liverpool, okay. So you're probably emotional more about the Liverpool, even though it might just be an anomaly in the season. You don't see everyone getting taken out and the VAR not going for it, so...
That's the key. It has to be Leonard Nimoy doing the VAR. And just finally, David.
Can I just ask, how would you solve that problem then, Elliot? Because, of course, human error is something that can never be fully eliminated.
I say human error can't be eliminated. So for the cut and dry decisions, like whether the player was offside, we need to make sure the rules are clear on offsides. But for the human error, I say eventually it'll even itself out. Like, technology fails sometimes, we've seen that. But if a human fails, that's just... is what it is. There's no way to fully fix that without just passing the human error on to someone else.
Okay, Luke, and then very briefly to Thomas.
I would actually take Elliot's point even further and say that it shouldn't be used for the cut and dry decisions, because you see with offside, there is the odd decision where it's really difficult to differentiate between whether it was offside or not. And therefore, if it's going down to the really, really small margins, then how is the attacker gaining an advantage out of that? And therefore, it just takes it to the complete extreme and sucks the joy out of the game.
Thomas, just very briefly.
I think on human error, I think it can't be eliminated, but I think it can be reduced. And in terms of VAR, it is reducing that. And for offside, I think there's not many things in football that is black and white, but offside is. You're either offside or you're not. So.
Okay, right, we're going to talk about VAR no more after this. Back in just a few moments' time with the students of St. Ninian's High School.
The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
Ho, ho, ho! Here at Ramsey Garden Centre, we have Christmas covered. Walk through our magical Christmas wonderland. See Dancing Norbert, fabulous new decorations, lights, indoor and outside for all occasions. Baubles and beads, trees, real or artificial, gift ideas and a few surprises at Ramsey Garden Centre. It wouldn't be Christmas without a visit to Ramsey Garden Centre on Albert Road. Visit us on Facebook to see what's in store this festive season.
You know Wainwright's the place to go for a fantastic choice of wines, beers, and spirits at amazingly low prices. But now we've got great food shopping too, with an extended range of Sainsbury's groceries, including chilled food and ready meals, and their fantastic wines and spirits. We're now the Wainwright Neighbourhood Food Store. Same handy location, no parking hassle, and a brilliant shopping experience. Open 10 till 8, 10 till 6 on Sundays. The all-new Wainwright Neighbourhood Food Store, Victoria Road, Douglas.
At LV Home Care, we can offer you or a loved one the extra support, reassurance, and companionship that's needed in order to continue living at home. With personalised visits and care packages to suit the requirements of every individual, whether daily, weekly, day, or nighttime, LV Home Care will fulfil your requirements with compassion, support, and reassurance. For more information or to discuss your requirements, call LV Home Care today on 855 382.
Millichaps of Ramsey.
What's the price of a good night's sleep? Millichaps of Ramsey guarantee the best prices on a vast selection of bed bases and quality mattresses, from memory foam to traditionally sprung. Millichaps will advise on the right combination to create your dream bed at the best price.
Creating a home where you'll love to be. Millichaps of Ramsey.
The Manx Radio Advent Calendar is almost here. And every day from next Tuesday until Christmas Eve, we'll open a door on the calendar to reveal a huge prize.
The Manx Radio Advent Calendar, powered by Waltons.
We'll be giving away cheese hampers from Isle of Man Creamery, £50 vouchers for ttshirts.com, and much more. Just listen out each day for a door to open. Join us on the air to answer a Christmas question, and you could be a big festive winner. And our daily winner will also receive a digital radio from Waltons.
The Manx Radio Advent Calendar.
The festive fun begins next Tuesday, the 1st of December.
This is the Isle of Man talking. The man in line.
Live at St Ninian's High School. Charlotte, what did you want to say about the promenade?
Just that there are some people arguing about whether it should be going ahead or not because of how long it's taking, how much money it's costing and the state of it at the moment, and that some people don't have easy access to and from. But then we did a recent project in geography about it, and we kind of looked into what they were doing to tackle erosion. And our group that I was with, we looked at the seawall and what they could do to that to make it look nicer. So as the prom is being regenerated and rejuvenated, how the new seawall that's being proposed could tie in with that. So at the moment we have the blue railings and like the like brick bits in the middle, which don't look that nice in my opinion. But if they built like a curved seawall and they like painted it white or grey, and then one of my suggestions was that at the moment they're looking to put army soldiers, like to have a little memorial, but then when we do open up again because of coronavirus at the moment we can't, but when we do open up we could have like little silhouettes of tourist attractions like the Laxey Wheel, Peel Castle, so that would attract more visitors to visit those areas. And because in Douglas, that's the port, that's where most tourists come in at the time when they arrive on the island, or some of them come from the airport as well.
Well, they say it's going to be the end of May next year that the prom's going to be finished.
I don't think so.
Okay. Matthew, sir?
I was just going to say, I live on the prom, and it's the access to the prom and from the prom is easy. It's like this, it's like on both sides, there's several places that you can come in.
Well, Broadway reopens tomorrow as well, apparently.
Yeah, so that's another place that you can get in, and that's the centre of the prom. I don't think the access to the prom is that bad at all, to be honest.
Okay. Luke, again.
I quite like what they're doing with the prom, to be honest, because I think it would have been a shame to get rid of the horse trams, because they're such a sort of historic, yeah, it's a pain for people who drive, but like I just think it's such a historic attraction that it would be a real shame, because there's a lot of history on the prom, and
only place in the world more. Where there are horse trams.
Exactly, yeah. It's just, so I mean, if it, I went, think it would be an absolute shame.
Elliot, what?
Honestly, I just like the horse trams. They're just big, annoying, and slow. Like, as someone who drives on the prom quite a bit, I mean, if you get stuck behind a horse tram, like, there's hardly any passing places with people parked both sides. The horse trams lose money every year, so it's just uneconomical to keep them, and the government should just scrap them.
Adam?
I think, like, one of the things with the problem with the prom work is that it's loads of different sort of groups of people coming together. So you've got the main contractor, but then the subcontractors and the government. I think everyone just points the finger at each other, but there's no way to really differentiate between each different group. So, like, why do they not wear different coloured high-vis? So then you can see which one's Alden, which one's DOI, which one's another contractor. And then people could actually see who's doing the most work.
And it is the biggest, one of the biggest civil engineering pieces of work that's happened on the Isle of Man. Adam, I want to ask you, the teachers' dispute, has that affected teaching? Has it affected anybody in St Ninians?
I think it's affected us a lot, because I know that Parents' Evening has been cancelled this year, so it's like, we can't find out from our teachers whether we're good, whether we're bad. We, like, our parents can't get hammered down the facts. They would have to go through us. And I think we've just not been given a lot of support, like, out of lesson, and maybe there could be ways to integrate the support more into our lessons.
Can you make any sense of what the teachers' grievance is?
All I know is they want more money and they're not getting it.
Do you think it's just money?
I think there's probably more to it than just money, but it's as if the money coming along has been like the catalyst to shoot off what they want to do.
Tori?
So I understand why the teachers are wanting to strike, but I don't think it's very fair that after we're trying to recover from a pandemic and lots of students have missed out on a lot of education, that they're like not holding catch-ups at lunch because it's just making the students' ability to learn much harder than it already is.
Okay, David?
I would argue against that because this isn't a new thing. These strikes were happening before COVID was even a thing. This has been going on for almost a year now, I think.
Well, you're in the middle of this.
And yeah, of course. So we missed out on our GCSEs because of COVID, so we weren't majorly affected by the strikes in that way. But even, like, I know when we're getting back from Christmas, we are getting given a week of study leave and then a week of mock exams. There's a rumour going around the teachers that I've been told that that isn't just because they want us to have experience of exams, but because teachers want to go away for Christmas, and of course those teachers that are striking can't cover those lessons, so they're just trying to free up more teachers so that they can still teach the other years.
Thomas?
I think it just needs to get done, plain and simple, one way or another. I think if GCSE in February, when I found out that they were striking, I was getting quite worried because I was trying to go to lots of catch-up sessions and they weren't available. And I think come May time, if I was 3 weeks away from an exam and there was no teachers, then I think it's almost from year 11 point of view, we weren't affected too much, but in normal 2020, I think we would have been heavily impacted. And I think people are getting, the closer it gets to exam seasons, I think it's just going to have a greater, greater impact.
Who do you blame?
I don't know the ins and outs of it, but I know.
Yeah, but you're stuck in the middle.
Yeah, and I know teachers, they're saying that they've missed out over however long, they've missed out on a year's salary. Whether that's true or not, I don't know. I only really hear one side of it. I don't go to the government and ask them. I only hear from the teachers. So, but one way or another, whether they come to some sort of an agreement, because clearly they both want two opposite of the spectrum, I think they just need to meet in the middle because they just need to get it done with. Because if it comes to May time, where we've already missed school, and it comes to exam season, I think it's just going to be catastrophic.
Okay, Charlotte?
I think everyone was different with the lockdown, and to say, like, everyone fell behind, it might be a bit over the top, because I don't think I personally fell behind. Like, we had Google Classroom, I could email the teacher. So I understand some people are in a different scenario where they don't have laptops, they don't have iPads, maybe they're not getting support from their parents, they might be out working.
But psychologically, how does it feel to know that there are teachers who are disgruntled with their terms and conditions and that they are contemplating industrial action?
Yeah, I'm not entirely sure. Like, I feel why people feel unsupported at the moment, but personally I feel like I could still go to my teachers and ask for help if I really wanted
it. Okay, David?
I would also just bring back to the point of everybody saying, oh, we're missing out on loads of learning, we are going to be worse off in our exams. We are sitting English exam boards or Scottish exam boards, and when you actually compare it to what they've missed because of COVID, we aren't that far behind. So that's not a valid argument to stop the strikes, in my opinion.
Elliot?
I just want to say, I think the teachers should get a pay rise. I mean, the Isle of Man government made a
I believe it was £70 million surplus. I might be wrong on that. And if that's not, and what are they going to do with that money? Like, the teachers should get the pay rise. Like, we've got teachers at Ballycommon, I think, threatening to just quit because of the disrespect faced by students. They've gone through at least 4 years of university, probably more, and I think they're underpaid for it, to be honest.
Okay. So do you think the teaching profession is undervalued by the government?
Yes. Teaching or the education profession is a merit good. It brings more value into society. So therefore, if they're underpaid, then teachers will just quit and then we'll be worse off completely.
Luke?
I think it would be beneficial for all parties just to postpone the strike, because at the end of the day, in this current situation where there are year 13s like myself who have really, the lockdown had a massive detrimental impact on my education personally and my A-levels, and I feel behind. And although I take the point that I'm probably not as behind as a lot of the students in the UK, it's still not very fair for some of the teachers to not provide the support for me to catch up. And even if I'm not behind on the students in the UK, doesn't mean to say that should affect my what I learn and how much of the syllabus I cover.
Okay, Max?
Yeah, I feel like the point that everyone's trying to highlight is the fact that it seems like teachers are neglecting their students, where that's the whole point of the strike, is to highlight how important they are to us. And after COVID, that was Tory said it was the wrong time to do it, but I think it's the complete perfect time to do it, to highlight how much they actually matter to us and how vital they are and how little they're getting paid for.
Lots of head teachers on the Isle of Man say it's really difficult to recruit teachers to come to the Isle of Man. The retiring head teacher of Ramsey Grammar School said they struggled to get two interviewees for every post, whereas years ago it was five or six or seven. And that's partly down to paying conditions.
Yeah, exactly.
So you think we need to enhance paying conditions for teachers to get teachers to the Isle of Man?
They're very valued members of society, and they should be. And I feel like they're being seen as the evil opposition here when they're really not.
Adam?
I think it's interesting to note that last week they did actually put an offer out which one of the three striking unions accepted.
It was the head teachers.
It was the head teacher union. So that's great, because it means that the top of the chain are back in the game. But I feel like the longer the other two unions like are striking, the more the impact's going to get, and I believe it'll be like an exponential. As you go over time, it just gets worse and worse and worse, and I feel like by our time our exams come, if the other two unions haven't stopped striking, what point are we going to be in? Are they going to be able to provide after-school revision sessions? Are they going to be able to help us out of our lesson time? Are we going to be able to email them the day before our exam being like, help, I don't know what to do? That's what I want to know about.
Robert, how do you feel about the teachers?
It hasn't affected me massively. I think I was always someone who worked on their own. I didn't use many catch-up sessions. But especially when we're in sixth form, the impetus is on yourself to do the work. And I think you can still go for help off your teachers. So I think maybe for younger year groups it has a bigger impact, but I don't know for us if it has that much impact.
Do you sympathise with the teachers or the unions who say that teachers aren't appreciated properly by the government?
Yeah, completely. Because you see the work they do, and they're like probably the most important. Well, maybe bar doctors and the emergency services. They're up there as importance to society. Without them, it'd be crumble.
Okay, Bethan, what's your view?
Yeah, I would agree with what Robert said in terms of I do sympathise with the teachers. I think obviously you can see that a lot of people are facing disadvantages and not having the ability to speak to their teachers out of class time, but overall the blame isn't on the teachers, because they're just doing what they feel they need to do in order to get what they deserve.
Okay, Robin, finally.
I think the problem with the striking really is it's not as simple as just giving them a pay rise, because both my parents are teachers, and I haven't really asked too much about the strike, but from what I've heard, it's more complicated and they're not getting paid enough. I think it's to do with they're having problems with how the Department of Education is set up and things like that. So I don't know too much about it, but I think just giving a pay rise
seem content in their career?
I think they're happy with what they're doing and they enjoy being teachers. I just think they view that the Department of Education isn't quite what it should be doing, and obviously they're not getting the pay rises that they should be.
Would you ever contemplate being a teacher?
I wouldn't, no. I mean, I thought about it a bit when I was younger, but I just think that it's not something I'd really like to be doing.
We've been live today at St Ninian's High School with Luke and Elliot and Matthew and Charlotte and David and Robin, Thomas and Tori and Erin and Bethan and Robert and Adam and Max. I've learned all about street dance. I think I'll be taking up street dance. Thanks for being with us today. I want to thank Ben Hartley on the camera, to Harry Henthorne as well on the microphone, to Matty Cunningham, to Barry Redfern. I'm Andy Wint. Next week, the man in line is out and about. It's Balacamine or it's QE2. I'm trying to remember which one. But anyway, we're at Balacamine and QE2 in the next couple of weeks. And thanks once again to the students of St Ninian's High School.